brothers and sisters and young people, children too, this past week there was that news about the Chilean aeroplane that was on its way from Sydney to Auckland. And when they were about an hour out of Auckland, it appears that the autopilot on the plane broke down altogether and the plane just went whoosh. It fell down a long way and there were people stuck on the ceiling because of the force that had happened. And there were, later on we discovered, 61 people were injured and quite a few of them ended up at Middlemore Hospital. When I heard that news, I sort of felt it in my tummy. I imagined, what would it have been like to be sitting in that plane and to hear the noise and the screaming of people and the fear that must have overwhelmed them? Talk about helpless. I mean, when you're in a plane like that, what can you do? It's pretty helpless stuff. Anyway, it made me think. It also reminded me of the fact that a couple of weeks ago, my siblings and I visited a place called Punakaiki. You know where that is? Been there? Yeah. Well, Pancake Rocks is what we used to call it when we were younger. Anyway, I was standing there and you look over the edge and you see this boiling cauldron of waves that whoosh and smash you around, and I couldn't help but think, what if I fell into that? Talk about, I felt pretty helpless. Scary. You know, there are these kind of situations where life is completely out of control. You feel hopeless and helpless. I think on a more serious note, some of you will know what it's like for yourself or your spouse to be told that you have a disease which is incurable. You can fight it as hard as you like, and there may even be moments when you think you're on top of it, but it eats and grinds away. It never stops, even when it's in remission. And before these situations, you feel so small. You feel so helpless. And it's against that setting that we need to start thinking about Psalm 124. You see, Psalm 124 was written against the background of an extreme crisis, a feeling of hopelessness and helplessness that overwhelmed not just a few individuals, but overwhelmed the entire nation of Judah or Israel in those days. If you like, it was a national crisis that was overwhelming the people. Now, what crisis does this particular psalm have in mind? I know that the title says it's of David, but it's very likely that Psalm 124 has in mind the crisis that took place in the year 445 BC in the days of Nehemiah. Now, that's not absolutely certain. I won't vouch for that, but what I will say is if you see it against this background, the psalm really does come alive. Let me explain. In the year 446, the Jews who had returned from Babylon about 80 or 90 years before were still struggling to succeed. They had come back because Cyrus the Great, the Babylonian king, had said, you can go back to Jerusalem, you can rebuild your city, and you can rebuild your temple and be your own people again. And a certain proportion of the Jewish people had left the Babylonian area in 534 BC and made the journey back full of hope and enthusiasm, new migrants almost. They were going to build the city.
And they were going to build the temple. Well, I'm afraid they were not very successful. Ha! Things forever tended to be going wrong and worse. And so much so that in the year 446, the neighboring people, the Samaritans, had said, come on, let's crush them once and for all. And so the Samaritans, along with several allies, we heard them mentioned in Nehemiah 4, had come along and said, right, we'll smash their walls and we'll make them shiver and they'll be as helpless as can be. Well, in the year 445 BC, that is a year after the attack by the Samaritans, a man called Nehemiah, who was the cupbearer of the emperor in faraway Babylon, we was told, and this is in Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 3, the remnant, that is the Jewish community that is living in Jerusalem, there in the province, who have survived the exile, is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. Now what this meant, when there were no walls, these people had no way of maintaining their identity as a nation. When there was no temple, these people lost access to God. You see, in those days, if you wanted to worship God, you had to go to the temple. And if there was no temple to go to, there was no place where you could offer sacrifices. And if there was no place where you could offer a sacrifice, where would you experience and find the mercy and grace of God? So when Nehemiah became, aware of the situation, he asked for permission to go back or to go, to go to Jerusalem and there repair the walls. When Nehemiah got there, the enemies thought it was a bit of a joke. And that's why I had Brent read to us from Nehemiah chapter 4. We read there, now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged. He jeered at the Jews. Can you feel that power? He jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the armies of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that? Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him and said, yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down the stone wall. They were grinning and laughing. Now I mention this because at this point, the Israelites felt as feeble as mice trying to stop a stampede of elephants. They were amateurs. They had no resources. And they indeed, to their enemies, looked like nothing. They were helpless. And they knew that without a city, they had no identity. Without a temple, they would have no access to God. So, it is against this crisis that we start reading Psalm 124. Now do it with me. Watch.
if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel say, and this is to emphasize it, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, think Sanballat, think of the enemies, when people rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over would have gone, us would have gone the raging waters. You see, they experience their helplessness, their smallness, their feebleness. They hear the jeers of their enemies. They're told, "What do you think you are?" You see, anything, anyone else, except perhaps God Himself, would have been completely unable to save them. Their own defenses and their own armies. Peanuts. Help from a superpower. Months away, if it would ever come at all. Help from any source at all. Talk about feeling helpless. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, if Yahweh had not been our God, we would have been swallowed up. We would have been smashed to smithereens. We would have been caught and trapped, driven away, completely helpless and lost. Now let me take you a little bit deeper into this psalm now, in order to show what it is that really lies behind it. And I think this is where the psalm has a depth that you don't see at the first reading. Have a look at the expression here in verse 3. It says in verse 3, when people rose up against us, verse 2, and then they would have swallowed us up alive. Now this expression, swallowed us up alive, means a lot more than meets the eye. Let me explain it the way that it is used in other passages in the Bible. Who knows the story of Jonah? Kids? What happened to Jonah? He got swallowed, didn't he? He got what? Swallowed up alive. See the connection? And it's fascinating, you know, that when Jonah speaks about being swallowed up alive by a great fish, he in fact describes it in the song that follows in Jonah chapter 2. You should read Jonah 2. It's the song that he wrote while he was in the belly of the big fish. I'm not going to say whale. He was in the belly of a big fish. Okay. And he starts off by saying that he was in the belly not of a fish, but of Sheol. Or, if you like, the grave. And so swallowed up alive is indeed falling into what he goes on to call the deep, namely a pit. If you like, swallowed up alive becomes an expression in the story of Jonah that means I'm in hell. And hell is a place you can't escape from forever. And hell is eternal separation from God. Hell is total lostness. If God had not been on my side, it's not simply that I would have been swallowed up alive, I would have been in the deep, in hell itself. Now start thinking. Let me give you another time when this expression is used in the Old Testament. This time I'm thinking of a story that's found in Numbers chapter 16. It's a story about Korah. Have you heard of Korah and his rebellion with helped by two men called Dathan and Abiram? Now, the people had rebelled against Moses and against the will of God. And then Moses calls the entire community together and he says to Abiram and he says to Korah and Dathan, you and your households and everything you possess, go and stand over there. And the people go and stand somewhere else. This is a horrible story, but you need to hear it because it's important. What happens is this, and Moses said, hereby, and he's now talking to Israel, he's talking to the congregation, he's talking to us. He says, hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, and that it has not been of my own accord. If these men die as all men die, or if they are visited by a fate of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me. In other words, if they simply suffer physical death. But if the Lord creates something new and the ground opens its mouth, and notice the expression, and swallows them up, back to Psalm 124, and swallows them up with their households and all the people who belong to Korah and their goods, then they go alive into Sheol, and there you get that word hell again, then you shall know that these men have despised the Lord. So what happens? As soon as Moses had finished speaking all these words, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the people who belonged to Korah and all their goods, so they and all that belonged to them went down alive into Sheol. And the earth closed over them, and they perished from the mid of the assembly. Now, when Psalm 124 uses this swallowed us up alive, the Jonah story and the story of the rebellion of Korah is in mind. You see, Israel is not simply saying, ho, the Philistines might kill us. Ho, the Samaritans might kill us. But they are saying, we feared because we had no temple. We feared because we had no identity. We feared eternal destruction. See now how the psalm suddenly has about it a depth. You see, if the Lord had not delivered us, we would be in hell. Now, why should I sing this song today? Brothers and sisters, my salvation is not just a deliverance to a better life, but my salvation in Christ, your salvation in Christ, is a deliverance from being swallowed up. What a thing to celebrate. What a great message. You see, yes, our body is mortal. I am mortal. I don't know, I might have 1 or 2 years left to live. I don't know how long I have, but I know one thing. I am not going to be swallowed up. Death no longer is the stronger. Hey, we sing it this way, don't we? Hell itself is captive led. Hallelujah, praise God. That's where it comes from. You see, Psalm 124 is a song that focuses on deliverance. Deliverance from your greatest enemy. And it's not being smashed to smithereens in an aeroplane, or finding yourself in a boiling cauldron at Punakaiki, or being told that you have a terminal illness. But you know, the Lord has
saved me from being swallowed up alive. How did he do that? Oh, well, here's the good news, folks. God so loved you, and he so loved me, that what did he do? He sent Jesus. Hallelujah. Why did he send Jesus? Because if he hadn't sent Jesus, you and I, we would have been swallowed up alive, huh? That's why you're here today. You're not here to celebrate the fact that you're going to be a better person than you used to be. You're not here to celebrate the fact that you are. No, you're here to celebrate salvation. Full. Free. What from? Eternal death. That's what this psalm is really singing. And that's why in the last couple of verses here, in verse 6, and I'm skipping a little bit now, it says, "Oh, blessed be the Lord who has given us, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. We have escaped." Can I say, in other words, we have been rescued? I've been rescued. That makes my life, you know, I'm scared sometimes of what lies ahead. But I know if God is for us, who can stand against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, give us all things, yeah, more than conquerors? Hallelujah. It's there. You see, we have escaped. And the reason we have escaped from an enemy greater than the Samaritans or the Arabs or whatever, we have escaped from the greatest enemies of all, from death, from the devil, from hell. Now, I know it's not popular to speak about hell nowadays, but facts, Jesus spoke about it an awful lot. You read his Gospels. And he knows that the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life rescued from hell itself. So, blessed be the Lord who has not given us prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird. You see, God, in your case and mine, if you are a Christian, and make sure that you consider this question, God, in your case and mine, has done the impossible. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't contribute a jot to your salvation. You are as helpless as a fly in a mouse, as a mouse being trampled by elephants. Well, I have all kinds of pictures come to mind here. Helpless. Hopeless. Praise be to God. He took helpless, hopeless you and me and said, "You won't be swallowed up because I'm sending my son to save you." You see, we celebrate, do we not? And we need to be reminded of this. I know I need to be reminded of it because sometimes it's hard. But we need to be reminded of the fact that we are in Christ. Hey? And if some of you here today are not sure of your own salvation, examine. If you can ask yourself the question, do I need Jesus? Can I help myself? Can I call on modern day technology? Can I call on anything to deliver me from being swallowed up into a life of helplessness and hopelessness? No, you can't. But God can, and he takes helpless, hopeless, sinful people like you and like me, and he says, "Come here. I've called you. Share in my love." I put it this way: if Jesus had not become one of us, if Jesus had not surrendered his life for me on the cross, if Jesus had not come, I would have been swallowed up alive. Praise be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, perhaps thinking back or thinking forward, I'm getting towards the end of the service now, but, you know, I don't know, the older you get, and I'm getting a little bit older now, the more you begin to realize
that life is all about tests and trials. Right? And they pile up upon you the older you get. Once upon a time, I used to be very fit. I could climb mountains. This time, I'm finding it hard even to walk on the flat. I'm weak. And my strength and my health is only here for a little while yet. And I think, what's going to happen to me in the future? Yeah, what is going to happen to me, folks? Death no longer is the last word. I'm not swallowed up. And I know this, that no matter how tough it gets, God will never leave me or forsake me because he has delivered me in Christ. Celebrate that for yourself too. And finally, there is a commitment in this psalm in verse 8. Now we call this our votum. That's when I was a student at the college, we used to call it the votum. It's the words you say, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I think it's better translated as a pledge, a promise that you make. Get away from the Latin here for a moment. But this particular thing is, life will often be uncertain, and life often is. And sometimes you're aware that you've made the biggest mistakes possible and have really been a fool all over again. I know I do. But then what do you say? It's in this setting that Psalm 124 verse 8 comes into focus. Brothers and sisters, my help, our help, your help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. God, who has helped us in ages past, is the one to whom we will turn for help in years to come. God has delivered us. And if God is for us, who can stand against us? You see, why am I confident in God? Because of what he has done, because of what he is doing, and because what he will do. Amen.